just the liberty that we have enjoyed in just opening our mouths before you. Because more than God's people realize, they're so conditioned the way in which that word proceeds. So that liberty that we enjoyed is a testimony to the maturity that Pastor refers to. Well, it's my privilege to introduce Gary to you, whose greatest commendation is that he's not well known. I don't know about you, but I have a very strong penchant or disposition for the things that are obscure and hidden and unknown. The choice kinds of things that God sculpts in the hidden place, chisels away to fashion and to form the instruments of his use. Gary is such a one. Every time you introduce him, I bring up another aspect of the thing that he is in God. And the scripture that's in my heart this evening for Gary is, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." As I have never before pondered that, I just realized that all three of these aspects that constitute the identity of the overcoming saint are not independent of the other. We will have no more an appropriation of the blood of the Lamb than we will have of the word of our testimony or our ability not to love our lives unto the death. That somehow they're all integral and related, and we grow up in all three of these things in the same time. So what is the word of your testimony? Do we have a testimony, that is to say, a history in God that has come through the dealings and trials to which he has submitted us, and that we have come through them in a greater apprehension of the knowledge of God and of his love and of the issues of the faith than we had before the trials came? Gary is a man with that kind of history, and to share it with you would be to occupy the rest of the speaking time. But I think when he opens his mouth, you'll realize it. I remember once I heard a man of that kind, and we were all so enormously impressed with his teaching. We were filing our way out of the room, and someone in front of me, as we were walking to the exit, said, "Boy, I'd come a long way to hear this man teach again." I said, "Dear brother, I'd come a long way merely to hear him clear his throat." There's something in the resonance of the voice that bespeaks the history of God with men that ought to as much bless us as the content of the speaking itself. We need to enjoy God's men, especially the ones that are prepared in the hidden place. Well, Gary was called of the Lord. He was very successful in the world, had his own plane car, restaurant business, cattle, all the rest. The kind of guy that was going to be a millionaire before he was 40. But when the Lord called, everything was stripped away. Hewn to the bone is the phrase that I like to use. Stripped. And then in the hidden place came the dealings of God. And then when some substance of them were fulfilled, the Lord began to bring them forth and brought us into each other's lives. And we've made three trips to Africa. And we once made a 4,000-mile or kilometer trip by car, visiting the places of Anabaptist persecution and suffering. We are a peculiar twosome. So I don't know what's on his heart tonight, but I know that it is in keeping with what has already been spoken and will bring us to a fit conclusion in the Lord's wisdom and heart of love and intention for us in these days. So I just want to pray again for him and for that speaking and for our own hearts to be prepared to hear and to receive. Don't be afraid to take notes. Very few men have ministered to me as much as Gary or have been used by the Lord in dealing with my life as he. He's been schooled in some very special things that I have never, ever heard expressed by any other man anywhere. So, Lord, we just thank you that you've given gifts to the church, men, sons of God, your Holy Ghost masterpieces, fashioned and formed at your own hand, chiseled, broken down, hewn, sculpted. And we love your handiwork, and we appreciate the servant, my God, whom you have formed in the hidden place as a special treat for us. And we ask a grace upon his head and a freedom and ease of spirit, my God, in bearing the burden that you have placed in his heart for us tonight. We just bow now to express appreciation and to thank you for such gifts, my God, and that our esteem might be heightened for all of the servants of God. Bless him now, my God, and bless us through him, we pray, as you bring us to conclusion in these days, having been so wonderfully with us. By your Holy Spirit, we pray, and receive the praise, the glory, the honor, the acclaim, and the acknowledgement of your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We don't have all these fancy things under the trees in Africa. I am really just privileged and so appreciate being here this weekend. I've really been strengthened and encouraged by your pastor, just being with him. And I really want to just begin, and though you don't know me, and I detest flattery, but I also know that a lot of times we don't appreciate what we have sometimes until we don't have what we have available. And I don't know if the Lord's going to lead me into sharing some on that, but I really mean that not as flattery, but I've been made aware by the Spirit just in these hours of being here of the tremendous investment, not in monetary, physical finances, but the tremendous investment of time that God has made and put in this time, in this body here. And I really believe that that's the reason that Aaron could have the tremendous freedom and liberty and grace upon him to share that word in just total freedom of condemnation, of, you know, trying to be obtrusive or put something upon us in any way. But out of a heart of love, I really believe that God has been working in us, and I know he shares my heart on this. We do not and are not speaking as though we have arrived, but simply in obedience to God out of the clarity of the hour that we live in. And God forbid that his people, that we would ever face these last days in fear. Because and I know there's been a lot of ministry about the last days that has created and generated fear. But I really believe that you have been given a pastor and leaders in this body that has a particular purpose in mind within this part of this nation. And all that's going on within the body in this nation, to have that kind of leadership and to have that kind of maturity and to have that kind of stability, I just feel impressed to appreciate it very, very much. I really do. Because I remember I heard Dr. Howard say this, and I really agreed with him. He's the gentleman that began affiliated Christian education, and that was that familiarity diminishes value. And that really is true in a foolish child, but in a wise son that grows up, and we've just been really privileged of to be with Andrew and his parents. Hallelujah. And to see a family raising up a wise son in this congregation. There is nothing that diminishes value more than an overabundance of something that you don't appreciate. And this nation is full of that. There's never been a generation with the responsibility that this generation has. then there's never been a generation like this generation that has given more privilege and opportunity to prepare for the responsibilities that we face. And somehow in these days, God in his great heart is humbling himself and reaching out to his people in a way that it's beyond natural comprehension to see God plead with people just like a natural father, a natural mother would plead with a son to just stop and just change and just listen to me. It's just the heart of the Father has, it's like an open heaven has been opened to God's people not in just a last ditch stand. God knows what he's doing when he opens his heart to people. And so I really encourage us tonight, just in our beginnings tonight, and I want to just to go slowly and wisely, but I want you to realize that God, by his Spirit, is saying, if you've ever appreciated the good little things, do it more now than you ever have. That's wisdom. Because you're living in a generation, you're living in a nation. I was born in this nation and was thrust out into the nations 7 or 8 years ago, and every time I come back, I just have a deep sense of a great need for God's people in this nation, and especially the young and the old. It's, I guess, all of us at whatever place we're in. We need to really humble ourselves and begin to appreciate the sovereign ways that God has led each one of us, and begin to appreciate what God has done in each one of us. And it just, as Aaron was praying, it just began to break up in a fresh way in my inner man the blessing that it is to be together and to have one another and have the assurance of one another's love. And I know that historically God's people have failed in one of two extremes, and that is the inability to maintain their life and relationship with him in the extreme of abundance, or the inability to patiently wait and trust and understand in the extreme times of suffering. One of those two places. And God, in his great wisdom, seems to have a way of leading his true saints in some time of their life into both of those places. And I really love him for that. And I've been in both of those places with him. And I'm thankful tonight that I can be here together with Aaron and you as a congregation, and really just begin to share some of the truths that I believe it's going to take in God's people to endure and overcome to the end. Because there is a fantasy in the midst of the nations about the day of the coming of the Lord, and what that really means. And I remember when I was a little boy, that I got a lesson that I didn't understand until I was about almost 50 years old, what it really meant. And that was, my mother had went away, and I loved horses and ponies, and I did not like to take naps, and I was put to bed with the full assurance that I was going to stay there and sleep. And she went away, and I watched her go out the driveway and ran to the barn and jumped on my pony and rode out on the hillside and watched where I was assured that I could see the dust of that car coming down the road, and I would be able to beat her back to the house and jump in bed and pretend that I was sleeping and never know the difference. But God really, really taught me something that day, because I only got 3 spankings that I ever remember, but I didn't need any more than that, not because of mighty, but in those days it wasn't there was no such thing as human rights and child abuse, and I got the fear of parents taught to me. Do you believe in that? I really am thankful for a few things that happened in my real, real young life in regards to discipline and correction. And it really is the disciplines and the corrections and the ultimate anticipation of being able to trust God in His scourgings that I love about God. And I know that may sound morbid and strange to you, but blessings have never really been a concern to me for some reason, because as I've read God's Word, that's an inevitable thing that has to happen, literally. You know, I said yes last night when Aaron talked about the credit card. I said, Lord, how come I always get blamed for these kind of things? But you know, I was in commercial real estate development and insurance, and I may be one of the first persons that ever stood in this pulpit that I've never had a credit card. And I remember when I got my first one, I had very high credit rating, and I had a lot of money and things. And you know, God is really at our best. And I opened this letter, and it just shows you the sovereignty of God. And I read that, if I remember right, it was something about being a preferred customer, and they didn't even know me from Adam's old fox. I never heard of it. I literally cursed that company. I was a carnal man at that. I mean, really. And I went over, and I got mad because I couldn't tear it, and I stood in the waste basket. I never did ever tell Aaron this even, and I twisted on that thing, and I threw it in there, and I spit on it. And I said, I'm not your preferred customer. You don't ever know me, and I never will be. I didn't even know what I was doing. No, I really didn't. I didn't have any frame of reference. Other than as a real little boy, my dad, who was not a believer, he said, son, when you get older, he said, get a good little place and get it paid for, and don't desire a whole lot of other things. You know, at less than 8 years old, a carnal man speaking to once to become a son of Israel. I could share things like this with you all night. I feel very, very strange about the day we live in, but I feel also very, very privileged for the way that God has led, because the Lord has blessed, I hope it's a blessing, my wife and I in a supernatural way with a piece of land that's just a mile and a half away from Aaron and Hava. And as I've prayed about what he wants me to do first on it, you know, I had a great revelation. He said, I want you to build a barn. You know, I mean, really successful ministers today don't go out and build barns. You know. At least from some of the promotional publications that I've observed in my short time back in this, this country. But I want you to know something, saints. We really are in the last days, and we really are needy, especially me. And God has opened heaven in a way that really is open if we can see our need. And one of the problems is, many times, is seeing our need. Being a believer, having everything, having the securities of all securities, the United States, and all of these things. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this blessed evening and this blessed people, and I really thank you for your presence. We really need to know how to practically face the reality of the time and the season that we now live in. And we just ask you now to release some of those things that you might be glorified in an ongoing way in this body and the leaders of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to turn to the Gospel of John. Been real encouragement to me to see the many great, profound Bible scholars and ministers of our day. I have come into a great revelation, and that revelation is that they need to be looking at the teachings of Jesus. I don't want to be cynical, but my real question is, how come it's taken so long? You understand what I mean? Because you see, if they are not primary and foremost within our hearts, then they're going to be relegated to being either irrelevant or difficult and hard to understand, and will go on to something else without a foundation with which we're believing in. And I believe one of the securities of enduring and overcoming to the end is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Because as real as Jesus was related to the Father, and walked with the Father and breathed the life of the Father, even so that is our privilege and place in preparation for these last days. There is no other way of preparation. It is not what you know about someone, it's who you know. Personally, not because you have to, because you're broken in your inner man, the privilege. The highest and greatest privilege of any human being that's ever been born is to be brought to the Father himself and introduced to him and be wise enough to allow himself to father him for the Father himself loves us. That's not just a teaching or a principle to be implemented to gain something. That is the natural result, the natural working of a person that walks and abides in the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. Beginning with verse 37, it says, "And the Father himself, who sent me, hath testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." Now, verse 41, one of the most powerful in scriptures that we need to let the Holy Spirit work in us. And he makes a statement as the firstborn son for all of God's children thereafter. And he says, "I do not receive honor from men." Jesus, the Father himself, through him, because he said, "I speak only those things the Father tells me to speak." Jesus says, "I do not receive honor from men." And I wonder where the church would be tonight. I love your pastor. He thinks ahead of time. But I wonder where the church would be tonight if everyone that truly professed to be a believer believed in this one truth about the teachings of Christ. And especially in the last 25 years, and especially in the last 10 years in America. I mean, are you with me, or are you polluted with the spirit of the world and the god of this age and convinced that you need to be patted on the head and told how great you are every time you empty the wastebasket, and every time you forget, told you're still good and right? You know, God is really God. And he really is full of grace, but I'll tell you, he's not a jerk to be jerked around. And he's not a man to be deceived. And the sooner that we get broken up in our inner man, begin to really appreciate who he is. I did really appreciate him. Because we see who he is. We acknowledge who we were and what we was. And if there was anything good before or after Christ, it had nothing to do with anything of the flesh. It had nothing to do with father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. It had nothing to do. It had all to do with one person, and that's God, Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us and rose again and truly is a father, and says what he means, and he means what he says, and he doesn't want to be happen to be argued with or attacked by what he says all the time. God is looking for a people that will love him in such a way that just simply loves him and just believes it. Just believes what he says. Doesn't need. Do you know something? The majority of what Jesus says doesn't need. And doesn't. If we would obey the things that are clear, we would learn so much that all the rest of it would fall into place. Wouldn't need any other interpretation. See, it's not a lot we need, saints. And I tell you why. Because a little bit of God is more than all of everything else. Now, you need to really get that into your heart. Because, see, we have not been living like we really understand or believe that. A little bit of God is more than all of everything else that always, that has been, is, and will be manufactured, made, and brought forth by man. You know something? I'm just a strange person that believes that. I'm so free in that. I believe that with all of my heart. That's how much I think of man and how much I think of God. He's everything. He really is everything. And when we really believe that, we desire. We desire daily, and we listen daily. We look into His face. We look for that which pleases Him, that which satisfies Him. Now, I'm not saying that as though I have done that in a perfect way. I've skinned my nose up and had a few scars other parts of me trying that. But when He got me, He really got all of me. And I'm really glad. And with Jesus, I say tonight, I do not receive honor from men. And I believe that God says to the church tonight, whose honor are you seeking? And for what purpose are you living and serving? And it goes on in verse 42, it says, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. It says, I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Now listen, verse 44, because when this really gets a hold of your gizzard and you start letting it work, it really does something. It says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? You know something? It's not more faith that we need. I want you to know tonight, saints, that we've got so much faith. We are polluted with faith. We've got so much faith. But you see, our problem is, because of desiring the praise and the honor of man, the fear of man, and not understanding God's ways, we really don't exercise faith in the times and season that we should exercise faith in, because we're seeking honor from man. And many have been trained that way. That they do good for one purpose and one reason, and then when they don't get that, then they begin to rebel. Then when they really get their freedom and their liberty, they don't go on doing that. They go on doing what everybody else is doing because it's popular and more acceptable. How can you believe who receive honor from one another? Now, I already know in the spirit that some of you are grinding your gears. But I want you to know something, that we're living in the strangest time that historically in the nations that any time. Nobody's ever been this way before. You know something there? You can't go across the ocean. You can't go and put in a video. You can't put on a tape. You can't read a book. There's only one inspired book that you can read to equip and prepare you for these last days. And if you don't remember Lot's wife, and if your frame of reference is whatever thing is behind you and whatever anyone that you think has gone on before has been successful in, is going to equip you and prepare you for this hour and this day that lies ahead, you might be deceived, just like Lot's wife was when she looked back. But God is saying to the church today that if you will humble yourself in all of your weakness and all your frailty and all of your sensualities and lust and greed and comfortable, convenient ways that you desire, if you humble yourself and you begin looking at me as God and Father, and look at that love and the truth of my love. Because, see, when you do that, it breaks your heart. Not more faith we need, saints. It's a pure release of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's all we need tonight to do all that God wants us to do. Because to every man has been given a measure of faith. You see, it's amazing what our capabilities are in achievement, in doing it for a wrong motive. See, the reason I know is because, you know, if a real estate deal, if I was going to get $100,000 commission on a real estate deal, you would be amazed at how patient I could be. You understand? It's amazing the depth of character and stamina and power that we have to get to be known or to get to get. Well, you're not a bunch of just little sleazy weaklings that aren't capable of anything. The problem is you just don't fear God in a way that will let God be God. Because I tell you something, I know I'm speaking from my spirit and the word and experience tonight. I got enough of frame of reference, as I've said many times in these last several weeks and months. There's a few of the rest of you out there that's got a few gray hairs too. And if you'll get wise tonight and not think that the depression years were so dark and terrible and wherever else you went through that you think was bad, and really get hold of reality. You know, I can remember in this nation when heathen, I mean real heathen, represented what I have watched for 20 years among spirit-filled places spend now millions of dollars in teaching after teaching after teaching after teaching to be. Literally. There was a natural friendliness. There was a natural neighborliness that was given to one another just by virtue of need. I mean, there was no biblical orientation for them. There was just an earthly wisdom and common sense. And God is imparting a wisdom into the church today that is the pure wisdom of God. That wisdom that comes from above. It's contrary to this wisdom that is now, that much is functioning with. It's contrary naturally to demonic wisdom, but human wisdom can so produce the things that look like God. And imitate that so closely, because today we have no frame of reference. But God, in His mercy, is going to do something suddenly, and one of the sudden things is the purity of the spirit of the fear of the Lord is going to be released within the church. And the faith and the measure of faith that each one of us have, we will begin to exercise it in a natural, supernatural way. Not to get, but simply to be and to glorify. You see, there's only one purpose for being, and that is if we're truly an obedient family of God, and that there's only one motivation that will cause us to stay upright and maintain our bearings and come into a safe landing in these last days through through the darkest historic, darkest period in all history. And that is when the fear of the Lord is working and cleansing in a conscious way, it will cause us to exercise faith in the reality that the Father truly does love us, no matter what it acts like, looks like, and feels like. And many have lost their bearing. And many sit and are still trying to be counseled and brought out of hurts and things that God intended to be a blessing in their life. And I really encourage us tonight to realize something, that God had a lot of confidence in himself, even with Abraham and Joseph and David and some of the patriarchs. You know, I read nothing in the New or the Old Testament that the devil treated Joseph so shamefully. Do you? I mean, that terrible being? Before the cross. See, before the cross, God set a pattern for life. And we have a problem today. We've put ourselves above the master, and the patriarchs, the holy and godly men and women of old, they learned obedience by the things they suffered, and Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, and the blessed and wonderful privilege of suffering in this generation has been taught away and pilled away and shot away and counseled away and tried to be intimidated away. But I really believe that God is sovereign in every one of our lives and had a purpose in every situation that we've been involved in from the time of our mother's womb. And if you really wanted to hear a sob story that would make some of you really turn on your self-pity and human sympathy, I could tell you, if I really waxed eloquent tonight, and I could tell you a story about my own life that would, you wouldn't have to go to the beauty parlor to get your hair curled. I'm serious. You see, we have a problem in it, and that's that we seek honor from man, and we don't fear God. You're looking at me really strangely, saying, where is he going with this? I believe God is going right to the heart of the issue. Because I want you to know something, that you and I do not have another 10 years. I'd like us to say out loud this out loud, and so that it doesn't put you in bondage in it. You don't have to agree with it, really, but I would just like to hear. I would like the heavenlies to hear us, and I'm in the New King James translation of verse 41. I do not receive honor from men. It won't hurt you. And I'm not putting you in bondage or anything, so just say it out loud with me. I do not receive honor from men. Now, a more honest testimony would be, I want to get to where I want you to know something. God is not in our midst to condemn us things. But I just know that this dark, evil system that is in society today, and all of a sudden society is a society of sports and entertainment and recreation and vacation and holiday and hobby orientation. That is the orientation of this society today, and men work to get. They do not work to produce and to glorify their father for the pleasure of it. I remember another word of wisdom my old daddy gave me. He said, "Son, you never have to worry about a job." He says, "Whenever you go out to get a job," he said, and there wasn't any in those days. He said, always work for someone and always do something. And he said, "A lot of times it'll be for nothing." But he said, "Always be willing to do that." And he says, "I guarantee you, you'll always have a job." That was my Social Security program when I left home. And you know, I really believed that. I went when I was 13 years old, and nobody felt sorry for me because I didn't have a car and a nice apartment and bed to sleep in. But my dad, he offered to loan me $5, and he let me know that I better pay him back as soon as I could. And I slept in a straw stack and picked strawberries and ate strawberries, and what I did to eat, I got paid for. That was my beginnings. The first thing I did with my first $5, I sent it back to my dad. I'm really glad I did that. I was scared of it. Never realized how good he was to me. Hallelujah. You see, God was in him. We got lots to be thankful for, saints. If we get and let God come get his toolbox out and screw our heads off and rethread them and screw them back on right and begin to appreciate the truth of his word and appreciate the sufferings and the sacrifices of life, because you see, the majority of suffering that everybody's gone through that's 40 years and under today, the majority in this nation, generally speaking, has not been for righteousness, it's been because of their pride. And they talk about it as though it was suffering. They talk about it because they're deceived and they're not in the light. Didn't realize that God was sovereign and had a purpose and had something to teach them and learn them. Oh, I'll tell you something, saints. It's not going to take God very long to get the job done. You know, you ever notice something when it's really hot, it doesn't take long to get sunburned? Why don't you know something? God is stoking the fire up, and we're going to get a lot of opportunity to exercise our faith in the teachings of Jesus. We really are. You know, I'm so foolish to believe this, and because of the foolishness of believing this, I just want to share several instances about this to help you, to encourage you to get into the teachings of Christ. Because it's one thing to know about that you should do that and to always go around wishing that you would have done that after you've had the opportunity to do it and you didn't. It's another thing to do it at the time you got the opportunity and learn the lesson, because it'll never happen again. Just that way. And I remember after 16 of our family in Zimbabwe were martyred, and a man that I had saved his life, literally, and his family, and I really loved this man, and I still love this man, and I know that it's not me as a person, but it's just God in me, because God just loves and keeps on loving, and it's a strange thing, isn't it? And I came back to Zimbabwe. I was gone for a little bit, and I came back, and he had betrayed me and turned me into the police, and all kinds of stories were going, and everybody was uptight and angry, and So I said, well, let's call the police out and have a meeting. So I decided to have the meeting in the chapel. And so the officer in charge and we were all around there. And so just as the meeting began, the Lord spoke to my heart that I should wash his feet. I mean, this was just a little bit after 16 of our family had gone, just weeks. And I said, Lord, if I don't do this with real compassion, then I'm going to do something just to influence this man to get out of trouble. And I just began to weep, and just a compassion. I wanted to wash his feet. And so we got a pan and a towel, and I got down on my knees and began to wash his feet. And he really wasn't affected too much. And this officer in charge was there. And if you knew the culture and everything, I mean, this was a calculated risk of being just exactly what the blacks like to do with the whites, to in the antagonism between the blacks and the whites. Just so you know, brothers that are black here, I'm not a racist. I just know what goes on in between races, whether we're Jew, Gentile, black, white, red, or yellow. And so I washed his feet, and we got through the meeting, and a real spirit of counsel came upon this officer in charge. And after that happened, we were driving along with this officer. So this officer in charge said, you know, he says, God sent me here. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I'm a spirit-filled believer. I was sent here from Harare to watch you and to see whether you was really real or not. And he said, you know, my granddad walked from here all the way down to South Africa many years ago just to get water baptized. And he said, the first white men that came to this country pitched their tent in my grandfather's kraal, and he got saved, and my daddy got saved. And but he said, you know, he said, you're the first white man that I ever seen do this in such a time as this. He says, now I know that God sent me here. He says, I'm here to help you fulfill the purpose that God had these 16 people give their lives for. Well, that was an encouragement to this little fella in such a time as that. You know, it really works, saints. Aaron was privileged to be in the hut of three of the people that were in prison for almost 7 months and then let loose on amnesty that did this to our family, and privileged to preach the truth to them and see them make a confession of faith. And you know, the gospel is not all what the present day interesting and exciting promotions magazines are putting it out to be. God really does require something for the grace that's given. And there's a lost, dying world that's looking for somebody to hate. And if you believe in the teachings of Christ, you're a good candidate. You'll be hated by the world, by those that profess that they are his, but are not. It has to happen because Jesus said that's the way it was. And it's not always interesting, and it's not always easy, it's not always comfortable, and it's not always convenient. But hear now what it is always. It's always very, very rewarding. If you believe in eternity and heavenly rewards. to seek the honor that comes only from God, and to be known by God the Father, to be known by Him, so that we know that voice and we experience His presence in the times of darkness and rejection and loss and betrayal and we're not in a tailspin or a nosedive and out of control because of the devil and all of his cohorts, but we can patiently, in a holy way, wait for the presence of God to come and save us. And if He saves us, we're saved. If He doesn't, we got no way out. We've lost all of our professional, promotional expertise. And all we got is that little God called Jesus, who is more than all of everything else. Do you really believe that tonight? If we really believe that tonight, we'll be radically different tomorrow. We really will. You know, there was a time in history when people sold themselves as slaves to take the gospel in obedience to the voice that they had to their heart personally. And when they got where they were going, they didn't have any assurance of anything from where they went. There was no telephone. There was no telex. There was no banking system. I wonder how they survived. They survived just like we're going to survive in the last days. God in His mercy is calling a people. And I believe that God has systematically and patiently invested in this body something that He's going to begin to suddenly require a lot more of. Suddenly, He's going to begin to require it. If we've learned our lessons well and really believe what we say we believe, there won't be any problems. If we haven't, there's going to be problems, and a lot of them. And I'd like you to turn with me to the scripture that is on the memorial of the martyrs. And I believe it's one of the deepest and profoundest of all scriptures. And I know that's maybe not wise to say that, but I just feel impressed to say that because I believe that all of the truth, Proverbs 22, I believe all of the truth that there is to be learned in the new covenant. See, certain truths are all wrapped up in one little truth, and if that truth is yielded to in a childlike faith, in a consistent way, all of a sudden a root system begins to develop and go deep in the heart of God. And you know, to get a seed, certain seeds to sprout, I was a hard seed to sprout, I tell you. But God got the job done. In this scripture lies a key. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now I want you to know something. In a very single minded way, there is no other way. None. The whole world lives under grace. But if you want the divine influence of the Father in your life, you ponder and meditate on this truth until you have the light and the life of it. And when you have the light and the life of it, it will cause you to stand, says the Lord, and endure and overcome even unto the end. Everything is in that one verse. The problem is, we have been trained and exposed to professional humility rather than unobtrusive humility. And there's a difference. And if you're a wise congregation, if you're a wise person, if you're a wise family, you'll ask God to show you the difference between professional humility and unobtrusive humility, because there is a difference. Is there a difference between day and night? See, there's a little bit of light at night sometimes, but there's a great difference. And to understand this truth, and this was the truth that God began to give us, that caused a small group of people and those of us that survived to be able to come through what God wanted us to come through in. And we can talk about grace. It's another thing to experience grace. We can talk about it's really not so important and necessary to get prepared for any kind of sudden whatever might happen in the future, because when that happens, at that time, all of a sudden, God is just going to give us a lot more grace, and then everything will be all right. I says, is it working for you under pressure, loss, rejection, and betrayal today? If it is, your philosophy will work. If it isn't, you're deceived. God freely gives to the humble and God-fearing. You see, the whole world lives under grace. Even the unbelievers live under grace. And our problem is we're living a kind of a life that's a little bit better than them. And an added problem, often, in the way we're living in that, we're actually proud that we're a little bit better than them, as though it was us and not him, in our forgetfulness. Come on. You know, the more honest that we can get with God and ourselves, the more God can be God in our lives. There's a clear pattern in history and in Christian history. Those that believed in the teachings of Christ and believed in unobtrusive humility in the fear of the Lord, they endured and overcome every suffering and every persecution, every form of darkness that God took them through. And I'll tell you something, God's taken them through some. Those that didn't, joined the crowd, became murderers, and I don't know what happened to them. But I don't have a lot of confidence, according to the last book of Revelation, in liars and murderers and thieves and cowards and adulterers and everything else that he names there. I really believe he really means all those things. Not because he's wrong, but because he loves us so much and he forewarned us of it. Something happens each step of the way in life when we have the courage and the wisdom to humble ourselves and yield our spirit, soul, and body to the situation that exists according to the teachings of Christ. Something happened in that time. Now, I want you to know something, that if it's a week later, a day later, 2 months later, you can get something out of realizing it and repenting, but you can't get what you would have gotten at that moment of time. It's impossible. All creation teaches us and shows us that. And God is wanting to come and prune the church and develop a root system to prepare for these last days. Because the determining factor of life is in the root. Hallelujah. Another thing that I really would like to leave with us tonight, I believe by the Spirit, is an understanding of the holiness of waiting. We've sung our courses. We've quoted our scriptures about mounting up, and we've exercise the word of our testimony in it, but all too often we've been victims of circumstances, ignorant or something, and we've had our egg cracked and our cocoon cut, all by ambitious persons. You know what it means to have your egg cracked and your cocoon cut? Is there anyone here that doesn't know what that means? Wise people. You see, God really is a God of life and death. And to not understand the holiness of waiting, and I want to read you something that really touched my heart deep about, because as you can see, we're just in a place with God tonight where God is in the midst, sovereignly doing something, not from personal ministry, but from faithfulness of gathering together for two strange persons coming. There's many things I would like to read or say about this, but I just feel the Spirit wants this one thing about waiting. In other words, when I had my own airplane, you know, when you fly, they put you in a place, a holding pattern, waiting. God is a wonderful God, and when I see what's going on today, I just say, God, the tank of mercy is really going to get drained out of what's going on right now, I can tell you. It really is. But this is just one thing about waiting, one place in life. And Andrew, you know, I really trust that you and all the rest of the children, and I, those parents that got your children here with you tonight, I just want to stop right here and say, I really respect you. I really do. You know, when Moses took care of everybody, he took care of everybody at one time. He didn't have a one kind of sweetener for this and a one time flavor for that. I mean, Moses fed them all manna. And I really respect parents that have the courage to have their children with them and live the life when they get home. But to wait is to remain temporarily neglected or unrealized. In a right attitude. You know something? All root growth stops when there's not thanksgiving in our heart for the situation that we find ourselves in. All root growth, all your spiritual roots stop growing when there's not thanksgiving in the heart. Do not play games with the living God of Israel and His great mercy and grace. But when we begin, and I'm not talking about exercising a principle now to get out of trouble or to get what you want, because that really goes on a lot, you know. Are you aware how much that goes on? Come on, are you really aware? Really does. But I want you to know something. You're not fooling our Father. And I think He's got a bigger waiter than you have. And your whiner isn't as big as His waiter. I'll tell you that. And wisdom says that when we humble ourselves and begin to realize that the devil is not sovereign and the devil is not orchestrating things, but we have a loving Father that really wants to get a root system in us, and that we can bear fruit upwards. And we really get back on course. Always remember this. Some of you are going to tell me someday if you ever see me again. Always remember this. To get back on course is to get humble and thankful. That's what it means to find your bearings and get back on course. Doesn't mean a lot of light, but you got enough courage. Because God gives what? His influence to the humble. He freely gives it. It's a guaranteed result. It can't help but happen. It has to happen. It's not a manipulation. It's the way God is. That's why humble, God-fearing, quote-unquote, if there is such a thing, heathen are always blessed ultimately. I love his word, and I love his sovereignty. To get back on course is to humble ourselves and be thankful and find the purpose and the reason that our Heavenly Father is in our life in this situation. One of my great regrets since I've walked with God, the only regrets, as near as I can tell, is I didn't realize this more and do this more quicker in every situation that's happened to me since I've become a believer. Not to get out of trouble, but to realize that God is developing a root system for a time and a season yet to come. The presence of God under pressure is proof of the power we possess. In purity and in patience, we are kept called to be peacemakers. Do you know when you get your grades? Under pressure. That's where we get our grades, saints. We don't get our grades because we've done it right. Now, in a hothouse setting, you say, is that important to do it right there? Absolutely. But the Father has a place to test it. I love my Father. Here's nothing. There, you're not going to get away with anything. And I'm really glad about that. Because you see, the reason God tries our faith, every new step, see, this body, this congregation is in, not just separately here, but that we really have entered, the whole nations have entered into a new phase, a new place. And God is expecting something. But when God tests our faith in every new step, it's not to find out if we got faith. It's to find out if we fear God. Are you aware of that tonight? You see, if you and I really realized that, we wouldn't go away disgusted and try to conjure up and figure out that we missed God because we didn't have faith. And I'd like to turn back and really look at that, because you see, when we have courage enough to wait on God, that He's doing something, and He's going to raise up Genesis 22. We don't have time, and God doesn't want you to develop this, but it's a precious place in God that God has brought us to. And Genesis 22, beginning with verse 11, says, "But the angel of the Lord called to him, Abraham, from heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here I am." I bet Isaac was glad that Abraham wasn't deaf. "And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I know that you are the great man of faith and power, and I can entrust you to the world leadership conference that's going to take place soon. And you're so full of faith that I can cut a covenant with you and reveal all these things and make you a blessing to many nations." Is there any translation in the midst of God tonight that says, "Now Abraham, now I know you're a man of great faith"? Is there any translation? Huh? You know something? When we understand this, when we realize this, it's amazing how fast we'll get out of foolishness into wisdom. I'll never forget one time when my earthly dad taught me an extremely important lesson, and I never really learned it, but I didn't forget for many, many years. But he took me to such an extreme that I remembered something for quite a little while. And God had worked on Abraham. And God knew something, that to every man is given a measure of faith. He knew that this man Abraham, was going to be identified as the father of faith, and that he would exercise the measure that was given to him if he feared God. And he took him every step of the way, and in the final and end result, he said, "Now I know that you fear me." Aren't you glad tonight that faith is not the issue, that fear is? I am. I really am. Faith comes by hearing. I realize that. I realize the gift of faith and all that, but that's not the same thing as this. Talking about now life in relationship with the Father, that which will cause us to be assured of His love and endure and overcome to the end. Because for you to fear God in such a way that you exercise faith in the time of darkness, in the time of loss, rejection, and betrayal, and you have the courage and the confidence in God to not be whimpering and whining, but to humble yourself in faith and exercise faith in that place of darkness. If you don't believe there's ever a darkness, don't turn there, but Isaiah 50 verses 10 and 11 is a very clear prescription for that. Because God leads us in those places. God, not the devil. God leads us. And it's a wonderful and good place to find out if we really fear God. And I want to pray for us tonight that this truth would be, would somehow be released, that there could be tonight a choosing of the fear of the Lord and an appetite restored, or an appetite generated, or an appetite released in this body, in this place, that would have a desire to understand and to have and to possess the fear of the Lord. You want to be sanctified? Have the fear of the Lord. Psalm 19:9 says the fear of the Lord is clean. You want a clean heart? Fear of the Lord. It's amazing. The power in this agent of the Holy Spirit. So Father, we humble ourselves right now. And even as that gypsy prophesied to me in Romania, I realize even right now, Father, that there really is a big thing that's in my heart that I'm asking of you. But I thank you that big things to us are just a little thing to you, who is more than all of everything else. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, in the loving and gentle and kind and yet radical and ruthless ways of your holy heart, you would create in a natural, supernatural way in the heart of every hearing ear a natural, God-given appetite, hunger, thirst, and desire for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to have a primary place in their hearts on a daily basis. Father, I pray tonight that there can be a choosing, even in the night hours of this night, that there would be a laying hold of the Holy One of Israel, that they would have a delight in what the Master delighted in, the fear of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, to throw word mouth in the evil way. Lord, it's not just a definition to be learned or a principle to be exercised, but it's a life to be lived. Father, we pray that the Spirit would be released now in all of our weakness, all our frailty, and all of our inadequacies. Father God, that the purposes that you so blessed us to hear through Aaron in having a proper understanding of these last days, and a proper understanding of the coming of the Lord, and a proper understanding of being prepared. Father, I thank you tonight that the fear of the Lord brings us very close to having an insurance policy with the premium paid up. Hallelujah. And Father, if you would grant that grace tonight, it would be so meaningful. So Father, we believe that it's in your heart to do that. Therefore we ask. Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray this prayer, not only from a doctrinal position, but from a life of experience that has proved to be successful in having the assurance day by day of your love and your confidence in our life. Father, I don't know how you want to do this. I simply ask you to do it and take authority over the principalities and the powers of darkness, every religious spirit, God, every intimidating and frustrating spirit, every religious spirit that would hinder this holy and divine and eternal truth that has been talked about, but not experienced in divine living reality. Lord, we see these children, you see this body of believers, and they've got a school, and God, if these children could see pastors and elders and deacons and fathers and mothers truly fearing God, free from hypocrisy, deceit, and fantasy, walking circumspect, sober, and serious in the joy and peace of the Lord. Father, we thank you that's not just a high intellectual religious ideal, that's a normal child's portion of life in the grace of God. And it's our portion to prepare us in these last days, and we speak release of it tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we speak release to those that haven't understood the importance and the deliberate intentions of God about the fear of God. Father, we loose ourselves, anyone that comes out of Catholic or Protestant or any other wrong teachings about the fear of the Lord. Father, we thank you, God, in the Word of God, it teaches not only is it to reverence and to revere God, it's to fear and tremble in the belly. Right down in the old gut. And Lord, those two together give a complete, defined revelation of the truth of the fear of the Lord. We speak relief tonight into this body of a freedom to believe the truth and the whole truth about the truth and to experience the freedom of this wonderful gift and the power of its cleansing and the encouragement of the exercising of faith, even in the little things. When they go home and wish that they would have testified or said something to someone, or better yet, when the father or the mother would wish they would have kept their mouth shut instead of starting off in front of one another and the children. I'll tell you something, Father, I know that your fear will cause our homes to become so holy, will cause our tongues to be sanctified and set apart unto you. And Father, I want you to know we've sinned, we've come short of the glory of God. And I know that I have, Father, but I thank you tonight you will not allow me to stop praying and prophesying of it. And God, I know the trials that it takes me through and the intimidating times and all of that, but I thank you, Father, that you're going to do it. And it's going to be perfect as you're perfect and holy as you're holy. And it's the fear of the Lord that's going to do it, because you've already given a measure of faith. You've already given of your spirit. God, there's enough to turn the world upside down. And Father, we are not in that place. Father, we don't need more seminars, teaching, and training. We need a honest, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost release of the spirit of the fear of the Lord in Jesus' name. And I resist every lying demon on this truth tonight in Jesus' name. And we truly ask your forgiveness for our forefathers, Father, who have negated this truth or have treated this truth only in reverence, only in reverence. I'll tell you, a little baby can't reverence its mom and dad, but I'll tell you, it can sure learn to respect them in a hurry. And Father, I pray tonight that you would do something that has a depth and a content, God, that will shake this nation from even this congregation, this place. It can do it if the authentic and genuine versus the knowledge about it and the hypocrisy of knowing and not doing about it. But the purity of the fear of the Lord being released. And we thank you tonight that it's in your heart to do that. And we agree with you, Father, and speak release of it. and say, receive it in Jesus' name, and walk in it in Jesus' name, and live in it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.